This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, ala afdali khalqillah, ala sayyidina wa habibina Muhammad ibn Abdillah. وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله، إن الله سبحانه وتعالى أنزل كتابه وجعله تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى للعالمين، وأمر عباده أن يتلوه وأن يتدبروه وأن يفهموه. الحمد لله، الله سبحانه وتعالى revealed his book. He taught it to his creation. علم القرآن، خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. The Quran precedes the creation of the human being. And then the human being is a human being because of his reason or her reason, the ability to actually think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the very outset of his Quran tells us and really gives us the fundamental foundation of our existence. When he says to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I'm going to place in the earth a khalifa. And the khalifa is somebody who stands in place of another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the human being on the planet and put him as a steward, a vicegerent, somebody who's there to maintain the creation. And Raghib, he says that there are three fundamental purposes. The first one is obviously ibadah, ma khalaqtu al-jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. And then the second one is isti'mar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, ansha'akum wa sta'marakum fiha. He created you and then he put you in the earth to do umran, to actually cultivate civilization, all those things that make us human, as opposed to the animals. The animals have their hunting, they hunt for their food, they store food, they build, some of them build extraordinary houses like the Beit al-Ankabut, the house of the spider, the anthill, which is an amazing kingdom. But the human being is unique amongst the creatures. There's no other creature on this planet like us. And in that way, Allah has differentiated us from the human beings, from the animals. So this is important to remember. People now, they say, oh, we're just animals. There aren't any animals that are discussing Cantor's theories on actual infinities. There aren't any animals that are traveling in the earth to explore the previous civilizations. Animals don't do these things. This is what human beings do. There's no animal stupid enough to climb Mount Everest. So human beings do stupid things as well. You know, the native peoples there never climbed Mount Everest until they got paid money to go up with Europeans. And somebody asked the first man, you know, why'd you do that? He said, because it was there. Ridiculous. I mean, there's even not even oxygen up there. It was an indication that human beings aren't meant to go up. They're meant to be in awe of it, to look at it and be in awe. Like the ocean. You know, in West Africa, the West Africans traditionally did not swim in the ocean. Mauritanians would never swim in the ocean. They would think that you were insane because the ocean is there to be in awe of. So they would go fish on a boat, but to go swim in the ocean, they would say, no, that's for, like the ocean that they swim in is the ocean of knowledge. Like the poet who said, al-ilmu bahrun. بِغَوْسَ الْمَاهَرِينَ بِهِ تُلْفَ الْيَوَقِيتُ فِيهِ وَالْمَرَاجِينُ لَكِنُّهُ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونٍ تَمَاسِحُهُ وَلَيْسَ فِي كُلِّ مَوْجٍ فِيهِ دُلْفِينُ. That knowledge is an ocean. And those who dive into that ocean will find pearls and coral and wondrous things. But it's not safe from its predators. And you won't find in every wave a dolphin. The Arabs love the dolphin, dolphin. In Mukhtar al-Siha, Al-Razi says, Dukhas, ويقال له دولفين. And he says, Dabbatun Bahariya, Tunji al-Ghariq. That it will save you, تُمَكِّنُهُ مِنْ ظَاهِرِهَا. It will save a drowning man by putting it on its back and taking it to safety. So the dolphin was an honored animal. So Allah, at the outset of his book, he says, إِنِّي جَعِلُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَرَ تَجَعْلُ فِيهِ مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيُسْفِكُ الدِّمَى. Are you going to put in it مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيُسْفِكُ الدِّمَى وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Are you going to put in the earth one who sows corruption and sheds blood? Some say that this was al-hin wal-bin, the people that were here before the humans, and they were sowing corruption. So they were, are you going to give another group free will and let them sow corruption? And we are praising you. We're here praising you. نُقَدِّسُ نُسَبِّحُكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ وَنُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ. We glorify you with praise. And we maintain your transcendence, your holiness. Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This is the first important note. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not know. I know what you do not know. And then he says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam all of the names. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَرَأَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Tell me the names of these things. Tell me the names of these things if you're telling the truth. سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Look how many times that the knowledge in these ayahs, these few ayahs at the outset of the Quran, how many times knowledge is in these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he taught Adam the names. Fakhruddin al-Razi said he gave him the ability to abstract the universal from the particular. He could see the one in the many. He could see all animals in the one animal. He could see all camels in the one camel. He could see all dogs in the one dog. He could see all birds in the one bird. Because he is muwahid. He's the one that makes everything one, including his Lord. So Adam is given this knowledge, and then the angels say, we don't have any knowledge except what you taught us. وَقَالَ يَا آدَمُ وَأَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Then he told Adam, tell them the names that I taught you. And then he told them, and they said, You have the knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, didn't I tell you? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Didn't I tell you I know? Again, أَعْلَمُ. Just look at all the ilm there. So this deen, the essence of this religion is knowledge. This essence of the religion, it's knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا بُعِتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I was sent only as a teacher. I was sent only as a teacher. He came into the masjid in a hadith that's related, and there were two circles. One was doing tasbih and tadhkir, and another was studying the Qur'an. He sat with the ones they were studying. The Prophet ﷺ said, الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَةٌ وَمَلْعُونٌ فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَهُ وَعَالِمٌ أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. This whole world is essentially worthless except for two things. The remembrance of Allah and what supports that remembrance. And Imam Nawawi says, طَاعَتُهُ. It's his obedience, the obedience to Allah. The remembrance of Allah and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَعَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. A scholar or a learned person and a student. A scholar and a student. So he put these two things together. Dhikrullah wa 'aliman wa muta'alliman. Now, majaris al-dhikr, according to the, you know, there's a hadith. If you pass by, إِذَا مَرَتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. If you pass by the gardens of paradise, take some repose in them. And they asked him what they were, and he said, حِلُقَ الذِّكَرِ. They are the circles of dhikr. All of the early salaf said those were the circles of halal and haram. Learning your deen. Learning your deen. Those were the circles that the Prophet ﷺ sat in. إِنَّمَا بُعِتُمْ مُعَلِّمًا. He's a mudhakkir. وَذَكِّرْ فِإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind people to remember God. The Prophet ﷺ told us to remember God. كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ. He remembered Allah in all his states. So dhikr is important. But what is dhikr? Dhikr is the remembrance of your Lord. It's the remembrance of your Lord. And the way that you best remember your Lord is with knowledge of your Lord. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة البدر على سائر الكواكب. The preference of a scholar over a devotee, somebody who's doing dhikr and prayers and things like this, is like the preference of the light of the moon in relation to the other lights on a full moon night. In another riwayah, he said, كَفَضْلِي عَلَىٰ أَدْنَاكُمْ, like the preference of me over the least of you. That's the preference. إِنَّ فَقِيهًا وَاحِدًا أَشَدُّ عَلَىٰ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. One faqih, somebody who really understands this religion, is more ferocious, is more fierce against shaitan than 1,000 devotees. Ibn al-Jawzi in his book Sayyid al-Khatir, he says, kiyad al-shaitan, from the machinations of shaitan, annahu shaghal an-nas bil-ibada an at-ta'allum. He preoccupied people with devotion over study. He says that's one of shaitan's goals, to preoccupy people with devotion over study. The central spiritual practice of this religion, the central spiritual practice of this religion is prayer. As-salatu fi awqatiha. That's the Prophet said, the best of actions. Prayer in its time. Imadu deen. Coming to the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ said, I fear two things for you. And then he said in another riwayah, same thing, Ibn Abd al-Barr relates this in his book on knowledge, Fadl al-Ilm. He says, Halaku ummati bil-kitabi wal-laban. The destruction of my ummah is with the book and with milk. Amazing hadith. They didn't understand what he meant. Well, what book? He said, An yata'allamuna al-Qur'ana وَيَتَأَوَّلُونُهُ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ بِهِ. People learn the Qur'an and then they interpret it in ways that were not intended. And look at all the people today doing this. Look at all the people. You know, somebody the other day said to me, don't we need to reinterpret the Qur'an? And I said, well, that's like saying that the Prophet and the first three generations that he praised didn't understand it. Because we were told that they were the best of all generations and that we should take our religion from the Salaf. That's what we were told. And then the Prophet warned us about changing his religion. And he said at the end of time, people will change his religion. They said he told us that they will change his religion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that those who rectify my deen, من أحيى سنتي بعدما أفسدها الناس, those who rectify my sunnah, give life back to my sunnah after people have caused it to die. These people have an immense maqam. In the same book, Ibn Adbar says that whoever, من طلب العلم ليحيى به الإسلام ومات ليست بينه وبين النبيين إلى درجة. He said, anyone who sets out to learn this religion in order to bring life to it. What did Imam al-Ghazali call his book? Ihya ulum al-Din. Bringing life back to this religion. Because it dies. It dies. The Prophet ﷺ said, Quran yakhluqu kama yakhluqu thawbu ahadikum ala dhahrihi. This Quran will be worn out like a worn out robe on people's backs. People hear it and it doesn't mean anything to them anymore. They hear attaqullah, have taqwa, and they don't respond. This is the human condition. So how do we revive the hearts? Jaddidu imanakum, renew your faith. And that's why if you're seeking knowledge, you have to be serious. One of them said, if you think you can gain knowledge, you will not be able to gain knowledge without great effort until the crow goes gray. In other words, it's not going to happen. Knowledge is difficult. Ibn al-Jawzi says the most difficult thing on the nafs is memorizing knowledge. Just sitting and doing repetition. It's not easy. If you want to learn Arabic, Arabic's not going to come easy to you. Arabic is a difficult language, and it was meant to be difficult. It was meant to be difficult, but it's easy for the one who makes it easy. If Allah makes it easy, it'll come to you. But it's a difficult language. If you go to it thinking that it's going to come easy to you, you're not going to get it. But if you go knowing that this is difficult, but I'm going to give everything that I have to learn this language of God, Allah will make it easy for you. He'll give you openings. You'll see things that maybe even people before you didn't see. The Arabic is the key. The muhaddithun, even some of the great muhaddithun, you know, Sufyan al-Thawri, he went to study hadith, and when he was reading, he made a grammatical mistake, and the man said, no, you're putting, basically in Arabic, he said, you're putting the cart before the horse. He said, you need to learn grammar. Al-Asma'i said, أَخَافُ عَلَى مَنْ يَلْحَنُ فِي حَدِيثِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. May Allah forgive us, because I know I've done this, so may Allah forgive us. أَخَافُ عَلَى مَنْ يَلْحَنُ فِي حَدِيثِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالَ فِيهِمْ وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمْ يَلْحَنْ. I would be fearful of somebody who makes a grammatical mistake in a hadith, that they would fall under the category that the Prophet said, whoever lies about me, let him take his seat in hell. Because Al-Asma'i said the Prophet never made grammatical mistakes. He never made grammatical mistakes. Grammar. This is our religion. Learning language so that we can understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation to us. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put us on the earth to know these things. He put us on the earth to know our Lord, to know that we're creatures. And with true knowledge, you will arrive at knowledge of God. It's inevitable. It's false knowledge that will lead you away from knowing that you're a creature that has createdness, that you have a khaliq, that you have a raziq. Where did your provision come from? Where did all these foods come from? Where did all these vegetables and fruits come from? Where did the milk in the udders of these animals come from? This is all spontaneous, came out of nothing. Nobody in the pre-modern world would have ever accepted that. With rare exception of people that Iblis obviously led astray. So he says, this is what Ibn Jawzi says. He says he will preoccupy you with devotional practices so that you will not learn. And then what does he do to the ulama? Because he'll come to the ulama as well. Learning doesn't get you out of this problem. He'll come to the ulama and he'll say, knowledge is enough. That's all you need. And he will preoccupy them from doing actions with their knowledge. One of my teachers told me, don't ever read something, at least you do it one time. Just once. If you read something in the hadith that tells you it's a practice of the Prophet, just do it one time. So that at least you did the imtithal for that one time. Because you can't take on the whole practice. This is impossible. The Prophet was a human being, but he had supernatural powers. He could see, he saw 12 stars in Thuraya. You can only see 8 if you have really good eyesight. They're called the 7 sisters. He saw 12 according to the hadith. If you look, just Google it and you can see Thuraya, a close-up shot of it, count the big stars in it, there's 12. So the Prophet ﷺ saw 12 stars in Thuraya. The best eyesight sees 8. He had the vision. He never went out to sight the moon. Did you know that? He never went out because he would see it like a telescope before anybody. There's no hadith. Somebody actually said, oh, this is a proof that you should use calculations. Because the Prophet ﷺ, there's no hadith that said he went out with the Sahaba to sight the moon. No, because he would have seen it before you could see it with a human eye. Because he had, so he saw behind him. A man was imitating, because he had a very, he didn't walk like the other Arabs. He walked in a very determined way. And so there was a man mocking him behind his back. But he could see what he was doing. He turned around, he said, Kun kadhalik. He said, okay, be like that. And he walked like that. Because whenever you, people that mimic people always exaggerate. They do more than that. That's what makes it funny. You know, like if you hear somebody imitate a person's voice, they never imitate exactly like them. They take their idiosyncrasies and they draw it out. And that's what makes it funny. So he was exaggerating the walk. And the Prophet said, all right, be like that. And that's the way he was for the rest of his life. He walked like that. Ibn Mas'ud said, Wallahi, لو سخطت من كلب خشيت أن أحول كلبا. If I mocked a dog, I would be afraid that God would turn me into a dog. And speaking of being turned into dogs, one of the miracles of our Prophet, people are wondering where the furries came from, right? The Prophet said, the end of time will not come until you will see people turned into animals. But he said, but the rahmah of my community will not be physically turned into animals. They will become animals internally. So they will feel like they're dogs. They will feel like they're cats. They'll feel like they're wolves. They'll howl like a wolf. That's a hadith. And now look, we're seeing all these miracles. Where are you guys? Are you seeing what we're seeing? The Prophet said the end of time won't come until people will be content with same sex. He said this, he told it, يَكْفِي الرِّجَالُ بِالرِّجَالُ وَالنِّسَاءُ بِالنِّسَاءُ. Look at this spreading all over the world, raising these flags of conquest. That's what, when you raise a flag, you're saying we won. And the Prophet told us this. And they lied to them. They lied to these young people. According to the World Health Organization, by today's statistic, 1 out of 6 people, what they call them MSMs, men who have sex with men, will get AIDS. 1 out of 6. Have you ever thrown a dice? Throw a dice. Keep throwing it. See how many times 1 in 6 come up. Those aren't good odds. 1 out of 6. How could you promote that? How could you promote that lifestyle? People that have to take drugs, they're trying to, the immune system is their enemy. That's why they're trying to hack the immune system. Give them vaccines to prevent STDs that you won't get. But there's not just sexually transmitted diseases. There's spiritually transmitted diseases. What about all the spiritual destruction that these activities, promiscuity, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, what happens to people? So why are we protected? Because Allah gave us knowledge. Allah gave us knowledge. لا تقربوا الزنا. لا تقربوا الزنا. إنه كانت فاحشة وساء سبيلا. It's a foul thing. And it leads to a terrible end. Anwan said, in studying 86 civilizations, that whenever sexuality was unleashed on a people, within 3 generations, they lost faith, family, and rationality. We're in the 3rd generation in this country now. It was unleashed in the 1960s. We're in the 3rd generation. So you're wondering why everybody's going crazy, why people don't know what a woman is anymore? These are the results of your actions. But we're the people, we're supposed to be guiding people. But if you want to guide people, you have to know the guidance. You know, the Arabs, they say, كُلُوا وِيعًا بِمَا فِيهِ يَنْضَحُوا. If you don't have something, you can't give it. The Muslims have lost this guidance. Where's the guide? They're all fighting one another. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ هُدًى كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُوتُوا الْجَدَلِ. No people go astray after guidance they were given, except that it's replaced with argumentation. We have all these so-called Muslim leaders and scholars. They're all fighting each other on Twitter. Attacking one another. Mubtada. People are losing their faith. People are losing their faith. What are you doing? Where are you? What are you thinking? It's insane. It's just amazing. We were given this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we just throw it away. The Prophet ﷺ didn't argue. Imam Malik was once in a group, and they started arguing. He got up, and he literally took his rida, and he shook it like he was shaking them off. And he said, "Antum harb," and he walked away. A man came to him, radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Ya Aba Abdillah, nadhirni, you know, let's debate." And he said, "Wa idha gharabtani, qala tatba'uni." And if I win you, he said, then you follow me. He said, "Wa idha gharabtuka, atba'uka." He said, "Wa idha ja'a tharithun wa yaghlibuna, natba'uhu." Malik said, "You're going to be on a new." He said, "If I win, if you win what?" He said, "Then you follow me." He said, "And if I win what?" He said, "I'll follow you." He said, "What if a third one comes and he beats both of us?" He said, "Then we follow him." He said, "You're going to be on a new religion every day. You'd be on a new religion every day." Malik knew he had the guidance. He knew what he was on. And we know, وَمَالِكُ وَسَائِرُ الْأَمَّةِ كَذَا أَبُوا الْقَاسِمُ هُدَاتِ الْأُمَّةِ فَوَاجِبُ تَقْلِيدًا حَبْرٍ مِّنْهُمُ كَذَا حَكَ الْقَوْمِ بِلَبْدٍ يُفْهَمُ. This is the guidance we were given. We have the guidance. We know what the deen is. We know what the deen is. I know what the religion is. We know what the deen is. But are you going to study it? Are you going to learn it for yourself? Not so that you're just like a parrot. You know, the Arabs called babagha, the parrot. You know, babagha'i. The Prophet said, "La tukunu imma'atan." Don't be a yes man. Ma'ak. I'm with you, I'm with you. Don't be, he said, "La tukun imma'atan." Don't be a yes man. Wattinu anfusukum. In ahsana nas ahsantum. Wa idha asa'a nas sanamtum min isa'atihim. No, strengthen, make firm yourself so that if people do good, you're with them. And when they do bad, you're not with them. Don't follow the crowd. If you read the Quran from cover to cover, show me one rightly guided group in the Quran other than the Sahaba. One rightly guided group. The entire Quran are case studies of one man, two men sometimes, Harun and Musa, going up against a mob. Don't be with the group. The Prophet ﷺ said, be with the group as long as they're rightly guided. And then when it goes astray, he told Hudhaifa, just be with yourself. He said, if the Dajjal shows up, ana hajijukum. If the Dajjal shows up and I'm alive, I'll take care of him. I'll protect you. But if I'm gone and he shows up, kullu muslimin hajiju nafsihi. Every Muslim will be his own, he'll be his own proof. So you better recognize the Dajjal when you see him, because we're in an age of Dajjajila. The Prophet ﷺ told us knowledge would go. بِقَبْدَ الْعُلَمَاء. It doesn't go, it doesn't get lifted up one night. He said it will go with people dying who had the knowledge, because there weren't young people that were there to take it from them. The Prophet ﷺ said that the waratha of the prophets is knowledge. They don't leave gold and silver. Aisha came out with all the possessions of the Prophet ﷺ to show his ummah. This is what he left. This is what he left. And it was a few izars, a shirt, a bowl to wash, do his wudu in. That's what he left. He didn't have dunya. He said, "I fear for you, Laban," milk. Why did he use milk? It's an amazing analogy for the dunya, if you think about it. Because milk is the superfood. You know, that for the Arabs, milk was everything. If they had milk, they didn't need anything else. And I lived with Bedouins. I know how true that is. So that's really what dunya is. It begins with milk. That's where it begins. It begins with milk. And the dunya, like Imam al-Busiri says, is like a big breast. And people need to be weaned from it. Wean yourselves before death weans you. So that's what the Prophet was talking about. Be weaned from this dunya, because you are going to be weaned from it when death descends. And it's not easy. So these are the days. And one of the Harith al-Awar was in the masjid. And this is in Kufa, in Iraq. And he saw the people, they started arguing. It was like fitna in the masjid. He went to Sayyidina Ali. He was the Khalifa at the time. He went to Sayyidina Ali and he told him what was happening in the masjid. And he said, "Oh, wafa'alu dharika? Were they doing that?" He said, "Na'am." He said, "Wallahi sami'tu min Rasulillah. I heard from the Messenger of Allah. Satukunu fitanam. Fitanam. Kaqta'a layl al-mudhlim. There will be conflicts in this ummah like portions of a dark black night." And then I said to him, and this is the genius of the Sahaba, they're always concerned, they're not concerned about the fitan. "Oh, tell me what kind of fitan, what man makhraju yawma idhin ya Rasulullah? How do we get out of it?" That's all they're concerned about. How do we get out of it? Not, "Oh, see, now people want to know what the fitna is." "Really? So-and-so did what? Oh, where? Huh, can you send me the link?" No, seriously, this is what people want. They want to find out about the fitna. Imam Ali wanted to find out how to get out of the fitna. مَا الْمَخْرَجُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ فِيهِ نَبَأُ مَا قَبْلُكُمْ وَخَبْرُ مَا بَعْدُكُمْ وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنُكُمْ هُوَ الْفَصْلُ لَيْسَ بِالْهَزَلْ مَنْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَبَّارٍ قَسَمُوا اللَّهِ وَمِنْ ابْتَغَى الْهُدَى فِي غَيْرِهِ أَضَلُّهُ اللَّهِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. He said, the book of Allah, it has everything you need. Everything is in there, including to follow the sunnah. So don't be like the Prophet said, لَوْ فِيَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ مُتَّكِيًا عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِهِ يَقُولُ مَا وَجَدْنَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ اتَّبَعْنَا. You know, don't be like somebody reclining on his sofa. This is the latter-day people. If it's not in the book of Allah, I'm not going to follow it. And in another riwayah, he said, that مِنَ الشَّرَطَ السَّعَ أَنْ يَتَّكِيَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِهِ يَقُولُ مَا وَجَدْنَا حَلَالًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَحْلَلْنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا حَرَامًا حَرَّمْنَا وَلَا يُذْكُرُ سُنَّتِي. They won't mention my sunnah. وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Abd al-Rahman ibn Yazid was in during Hajj and he saw a man on mahram with a cloak over him. He said, "Take that off." He said, "مَا دَلِيلُكَ مَا دَلِيلُكَ." They had those people back then. And he said, "وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا." That's the dealio. خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكُكُمْ. Take from me your hajj. The hajj isn't in the Quran. It just tells us وَعَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ. Doesn't tell us how to make hajj. How many tawaf. No. خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكُكُمْ. صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي يُصَلِّي. So the first and most fundamental spiritual practice of this religion is prayer. Master your prayer. Don't waste your time with other things. Don't do your mawlids. Don't do all these adhkar and awrad if you're not doing your prayer. If you don't know the ahkam, if you don't know the shurut, if you don't know the sunan, if you don't know the makruhat, if you don't know the muharramat, if you don't know the mubtilat, don't waste your time. Because that's the first thing you're going to be asked about, is your prayer. And then the second single most important thing is Quran, tilawat al-Quran, which means beautifully in the Arabic language to follow وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, and the moon as it follows, right? Because that, so اتِّبَاعَ الْقُرْآنِ, but also to recite, because one word follows another. To recite. So recite the Qur'an. تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet ﷺ said the best dhikr is تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ, and the best تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ is in the prayer. Abu Dhar said, لِيَنْ أَغْدُ وَتَعَلَّمُ آيَتَيْنِ مِنْ كِتَابِ لَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ يَنْ أُصَلِّي مِيَةِ رَكَعَةٍ. It's just to get up in the morning and learn two ayahs of Quran is better than praying 100 rakats. Two ayahs of Quran. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. Tell other people, even if it's one hadith. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ لِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. الحمد لله صلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله. طلاب العلم is a maqam, you know, it's a big maqam to seek knowledge. But all of knowledge in our tradition begins with learning the Arabic language. That's what, if you, knowledge of the deen, there are other things you can learn in other languages. But if you want to learn knowledge of this deen, it begins with learning the Arabic language. And I'm not talking about, you know, the ajam need to learn that. The thing, there's books in Urdu, there's books in Turkish, there's books in Kurdish language, there's books in all these Persian, you know, they can learn fundamental. But if you want to really learn this deen, you have to learn Arabic. And that's part of what, the reason why you're here, to learn Arabic. It's a sine qua non. That's Latin. You know, it's a condition that you can't do without. إن رمت إدراك العلوم بسرعة فعليك بالنحو القويم ومنطقي هذا ميزان العقول مرجحون والنحو يصرح لساني بمنطقي ومن البلاغ ومن البلاغة خذ دليلا للحجة تسمو به بين الورى إن تنطقي. This is our tradition. I didn't make it up. This is our tradition. They said, if you want to quickly acquire knowledge, then learn good grammar and learn logic. Logic will correct your thinking, grammar will correct your speaking, and then learn rhetoric, because you'll be able to express yourself amongst the people and be persuasive. Alhamdulillah. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي والذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين الله يا الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأكثرهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدة شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم ارحم العباس اللهم ارحم المبشرين بالجنة اللهم ارحم المسلمين الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يتبعون القول يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يحبون اللغة العربية. You know, I wanted to mention one thing to all of you learning Arabic. Make the intention to preserve the language of this deen as a fard kifaya. You know, get the reward of fard kifaya, learning Arabic. And I'll tell you a true story. I studied very briefly with somebody. I learned a lot from him, but I lived in his house in Medina. He's an amazing Mauritanian man. His mother was there at the time, Sadika. She actually fasted every other day for decades. She just recited the Quran constantly. That was her ibadah, his recitation of Quran. She was an amazing lady and lived in the total zahida fi dunya. And I'm glad I met her. But she had two sons. One of them is an Usuli scholar who became Sheikh Abdullahi Shinqiti, who teaches in Medina. But the other one was a muhasib. He was an accountant. His name was Muhammad Ahid. And when I was living with him, we used to walk five prayers a day. He would walk to the masjid from Al-Harar al-Gharbiya. This was the area the Mauritanians lived in Medina when I lived there. And we would walk the five prayers, and we would pray and walk back. He would recite the Alfiyah of Ibn Malik on the way and on the way back. And I asked him once why he did that. He said, it's my word. This is my word. Like, this is my ibadah. And I said to him, you know, how is that ibadah? He said, because my niyyah is to preserve the language of the Quran. And so this is my devotional practice. About 5 years ago, I went back to Medina and I saw Sheikh Abdullah and I asked him, how's Muhammad Ahid? He said, you'll never believe what he's doing now. I said, what? He has the Kursi al-Nahu in the Haram al-Nabawi. He was an accountant. And he said, I don't think there's anybody more learned in grammar in this city. So make a strong niyyah. We need people, young people, that don't waste their lives. TikTok is it'll take your life. It'll eat your life. Really, just keep scrolling. Some idiot. You know, like the rats, they keep hitting to get the pellet. Oh, there's an interesting one. I think I'll tweet it out and waste other people's time. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa tub 'alayna innaka antat-tawwabur rahim. Alhamdulillah.